Is a little loud tonight.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's okay.
There we go. So, there have been a shitload of earthquakes, like Indonesian region, and well, around the whole Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
And it seems to have been, like, trending up since, like, the Japanese tsunami. Mm. Wasn't there also one right before that nobody seems to remember now?
I think it was in 2010 over in China. There was a pretty big earthquake. I think that's where it was.
So I remember there was a lot of relief effort going on, like I want to say Thailand area,
yeah,
like
you know somewhere, you know, over there.
All of those little islands down there that just get rocked anytime anything seismic happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them are lucky enough to also be active volcanoes. What a great place to live.
Yay. Yeah, dude, like, Alaska's really seismically active. As far, like, it doesn't have any huge ones, but, like, under 4.0, there's quite a number.
Well, it's sort of off in, like, a quiet corner of the geologic region. Like,
yeah,
there's subduction of the Pacific plate right there. But, like, look at where the mountains are popping up, or have popped up, in North America. It's not, like, on the coast. It's
inward.
Hundreds of miles inward.
Yeah.
So,
Something's weird.
I would think,
that.
Like, a lot of the activity would be, like, inner Alaska and, like, into the Canadian Shield and Yukon Territory and such.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Here in the States, we don't have a lot of big earthquakes, but there's a lot of little earthquakes going on around us, almost as much as the big earthquakes over on the other side. And then in the Atlantic Ridge, there's been like 3 or 4 this week that have been
now,
upwards of 4.0s.
That's the seam between the plates that runs right in the middle of the Atlantic, right?
Right, right. Not
okay.
On the Ring of Fire, but the other ocean.
The other side.
Between New York and England.
Well, and maybe having, like, a crack down it prevents it from becoming a Ring of Fire type situation.
Well, that could be.
Because it just be, like, would that be a rift valley in there? Or is that either it's a rift valley and new crust is being created at that place, or it's a subduction zone and crust is being destroyed at that place.
Yeah, Ridge.
I would think it's creating the crust.
Yeah, like there's gonna be some new,
like,
island popping up out of there.
You look at the Google Earth images, and it's got those, like,
weird,
where like planks are being pushed up from something beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
If you were like, if zombies were coming out of your wood floor.
Yeah, yeah. Or like big ass maple tree roots coming through the sidewalk.
Yeah, it looks more like that rather than like a bottomless pit of fire.
Yeah.
And even then, like, the actual place where the plate subducts over on the Pacific side, there's not really catastrophic events going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it causes, like, one of the Hawaiian volcanoes to leak some lava or something.
Yeah. Well, like, the Hawaiian Islands is just kind of like an island chain, isn't it? Like, when they say island chain, it's, like, literally a chain of islands that, like, the volcano starts one and it kind of moves off where that volcano head is.
Yeah,
and then
as the plate actually moves,
like
the island moves
belt
off the hot spot.
Yeah. And eventually is swallowed back by the sea.
Yeah, because it's all basalt.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it breaks down with seawater. I guess there's one island you can go to, the oldest one, and you can go you know, fairly inland into the island and just break off chunks of earth
of
off
the island.
Yeah, like, I mean, it looks like a sheer rock face, but it's got, like, rust spots and shit. And you'd, like, take a little hammer or a rock and just pieces just shear off.
Like hammering on ice or something like that.
Yeah.
Huh. That's wild.
Almost like it was sandstone or something, but a lot harder. Of course, once it hits the ocean water, the salt starts acting on it.
Salt. Salt and water, man. Like, just water on its own. Powerful stuff.
Water is fucking creepy powerful. Because we need it to live, but it can kill us so easily.
Yeah.
If it's too warm or too cold or too acidic or too basic.
Or even just too much.
Yeah. Or too much of it. Mm. Tsunami or 2 inches of bath water and your infant that you forgot about.
Or just like, what is it, 4 gallons of water and you'll die if you drink it?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And you'll actually drown in your own tissues. Like, people have done it for frat hazings. That's how people accidentally die from that.
Like, drink pledge. You gotta drink 3 gallons of water. Or we fucking sodomize you with this plank.
I can't pee it out fast enough. I can't.
Oh, that's the trick, isn't it? Take a shitload of salt pills.
And dry yourself out.
You just you're pouring it in the top end and it's coming out the bottom just as fast.
Proceed.
So, not a lot seems to happen seismically or volcanically on the east coast of the United States or Western Europe or even like West Africa.
Yeah, it's been really quiet over there, but even in the center of the states, like the mid states, like Utah and stuff like that, they're starting to get a few small earthquakes like 2.0 and things like that, which are kind of weird. Like, I've been watching this little thing that I got on my phone that sort of updates you on earthquakes. And it's called the Earthquake Alert App. And
clever name.
Yeah, it's weird. But it does a pretty good job. It like maps them out and things, and you can see it. And like the Santa Cruz Islands, you can't even see the islands anymore right now. It's just all red from the sheer number of earthquakes.
I've noticed that on 3 Minute News also. Mm. Whenever he reports one, it's a cluster of like 48 dots.
Yeah.
I would think that small earthquakes, like in the central states, would be indicative of essentially mountains growing.
Mm-hmm.
So, probably okay.
Yeah, I don't know, there's been a lot, well, I can't really claim it, but, like, to me, over in Yellowstone, a 2.0 earthquake is too much. It scares me. But apparently they happen all the time.
Yellowstone does have that kind of, well, it has, like, geysers that can produce a shockwave that high. Yeah, just that. In the course of, like, moving their energy up to the atmosphere.
Yeah. I don't know, but Yellowstone's the biggest supervolcano there is on Earth. Well, you know, on Earth. There's bigger ones out there, I'm sure.
I really wonder if it's not secretly tricking us into thinking it's unstable. Because it pretty consistently is letting off pressure.
Yeah, but, you know, they called it Old Faithful because it always did it on the same time, like, all the time. Right? That's what it was.
Right.
That was it about. It's not faithful anymore.
Well, thing is, like, how long could that possibly last? So it probably got its reputation for timeliness with some Native Americans.
Oh, that's a good point. Before they had satellite time.
Yeah.
This is off by 0.2 milliseconds.
Right. And even then, like, white settlers weren't really aware of it till Lewis and Clark went through.
Mm-hmm.
So, You're talking about
like 2 days,
maybe 1,000 years of it being consistent, not necessarily measurably consistent either.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, pretty good.
It's,
if 10,000 years ago it was a few hours different, that's a really good ratio.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. But like, what if it was really not like faithful? Like, it wasn't just like it happened maybe one day in the morning and then one day in the afternoon. Well,
that's interesting. Like, what is the critical point where Old Faithful is telling you something like, run away from here? Yeah,
this is not a safe place to be.
I would wonder also, and I only wonder this because I've seen Dante's Peak. would the water get more acidic prior to an eruption?
Probably.
Not that there isn't plenty of acidic water in Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fucking superheated fucking black pits.
Yeah.
They're scary.
There's a super volcano, I think over... Where was that? It's over on them other continents. I think it was... I don't know. Suspicious Observer was talking about it. The 4 minute news. Some activity over in that one. Cause for alarm. Or at least for the scientific community.
Is it on the what would it be? The far western half of the Ring of Fire from our perspective? West of Hawaii?
Yes.
Which one would it be, damn it? I know there's some volcanoes over there, but I can't think of the name either, damn.
But, like, the you know, super volcanoes are deceptively huge.
Yeah, there's a... It's like a caldera. Fuck, I'm just gonna stop running my mouth right now. Around the Himalayan mountain range?
Yeah, I think so. But I might be way off.
Well, that should have some... Whether or not you're right, it should have some significance seismically. And, like, down there, that's the edge of the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, but this,
down there
this
being Sam pointing to the Philippines.
Yeah, this is... this is Santa Cruz Islands right there. For, like, the last week.
Shit.
And that's this is 3.0 and above. Like, you can't, like, see through that. And they're all over.
And, like, that's just the... Like, since that's an inhabited island, we make a point to put a seismic sensor there.
Yeah.
I saw some tsunami pictures from that region. It was, like, a mild tsunami. But some of their more remote villages are completely erased. Like, tiny islands that just a fishing village. Just, it's gone. I was also wondering earlier, Alaska is getting a whole bunch of Japanese debris all along its coastline from that massive tsunami.
This is just the last 24 hours, sorry.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's, what, half a dozen quakes?
Yeah. 24 hours since...
So, like, if all this shit is coming over from Japan, and it's certainly not the first tsunami they've had, do you think maybe, like, Japanese lanterns or some shit were washing up on shore when there's just a bunch of Native Americans in California or Alaska or whatever? And so, like, you're just walking down the beach one day and this completely alien artifact shows up sitting there. Like a fucking weird-ass coin with some crazy squiggly writing all over it.
Yeah. Man, that would be a trip.
There is a theory that South American pottery is actually inspired by Japanese pottery, because they do remarkably similar patterns on their stuff. So maybe some washed up.
Yeah.
Just a big-ass barrel of sake somehow made it all the way across. And oh, this is so cool.
Score.
So, we live in Spokane, and it's pretty seismically dead.
Yeah, there was a big one, I think it was in the 60s, or maybe it was 1906, I'm more leaning towards the 60s, but it was like a 6.0, and then back in like 99 or 2000 or something like that, there was a small swarm, I think we had a 4.2.
I remember that. I felt at least one of them.
Yeah.
But really, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I can count the number of earthquakes I've noticed on one hand in, like, my whole life of living here. So, what boggles my mind is why so many people live in places that just get torn the fucking shit out of year after year.
Yeah. Well, you know, if everybody lived up here, it'd probably really suck.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that by any means. And to a certain extent, I mean, you don't choose where you're born, like, you live where you live, but...
Yeah, it's a trade-off. The weather kind of sucks up here sometimes. Most of the time, I think.
Even then, though, it's not damaging weather, though. It's just like...
Meh. Well, I feel like doing some heroin in Seattle.
Well, we had an ice storm that one time.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that was pretty rad. I mean, like, it was definitely different. But then there was the Mount St. Helens thing, too, back before we were around.
Yeah, I remember being a little kid and playing in the garden, and you could dig up volcanic ash that was in a layer down there. And it's gone now. Yeah. It is gone.
It is gone.
Completely dispersed.
It only took, what, 25, 30 years?
Has it been that long? Holy shit.
It was like, I think it was 1980.
Yeah. But it's been gone for a while.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't there, like, by the year 2000.
Yeah.
Not that I did a lot of digging in the yard during the late 90s.
But yeah, the Mount St. Helens was a cryptodome type event.
Yeah, because it just got swollen on the side. It developed a true cryptodome.
And then, like, the side of the mountain just gave way and all this gnarly ash came out.
I wonder if it would have been better off just coming straight out the top and, like, blasted up instead of blasting the whole side of the mountain outside.
Actually, you know, if it blasted upwards, we might have got it a lot worse over here.
Because yeah, because the ash would have hit a higher level.
What's the lake right next to that thing? Like, Spirit Lake? Spirit Lake?
I don't remember.
Well, okay, so the lake that's right next to it, the bottom of the lake right now is, like, I think it's 10 or 20 feet higher than the top of the lake was.
Yeah, it, like, instantly changed the lake
landscape
bed's elevation.
And stuff, yeah.
Weird. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know how it knocked down all the trees?
And
scorched off all the foliage of them.
Yeah.
Like, when there's a shitload of wood in a lake, it gets waterlogged and sinks. I wonder if it's all, like, twigs down there.
Well, apparently because, you know, before they were trying to protect the forest from, like, you know, lumber mills and things like that. But then, because of that happened, I think they allowed a bunch of contractors to come in and salvage the wood that was left by the eruption.
But you could, that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, you could, like, see the path that it took. Like, all the trees were blown over the way that everything went. It was really gnarly.
It's almost like the nuclear tests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just knocked them over. Like, the roots aren't even up. Like, it just snapped them in half. Pencils, toothpicks, things.
Pencil sticks.
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
So, but if the Yellowstone volcano goes up, it's going to be a lot like the Mount St. Helens one, in that it's a cryptodome. And, like, we know that because of Old Faithful, I think. I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere.
Well, it would form a cryptodome, right?
Well, I think it's got the both parts. Like, it's got the magma deep down underneath it, but then it's also got, like, the real hot vents and that, like, whatever produces the ash. God, I knew this at one time.
Okay, so there's the magma deep below, and it's interactions of the magma with other material that makes a pyroclastic volcano, right? Rather than a lava-spewing, tiki god, stereotypical kind of volcano.
Yeah.
So, if it's just a hot plate, it could transfer a lot of the energy into the surrounding material. And since there's so much water, it's like a... It's almost like a cooling block, like a radiator. So we just have to keep it water-cooled, like a high-performance gaming rig. We're safe forever.
We need to feed the volcano some nitrogen.
Whoa.
Liquid nitrogen. That's real cold, right?
Yeah?
Yeah, okay, good. That's what I meant.
It'd be weird if, it starts swelling, and we're like, okay... Drastic times call for drastic actions. We're gonna dig a huge canal, both Pacific and Atlantic, and just flood the whole caldera with ocean water. And then it just sits there and fizzles, and one day this island comes out of the waves.
It's like a huge nuclear reactor.
We should do that. It could be our geothermal power plant. And then on top of it, we put a bunch of windmills. Best of all worlds.
Yeah.
So, because it's so rare to have the naturally occurring features of Yellowstone, we set it aside and protect it. But you could develop some serious shit on that kind of... plane. We're gonna have to just find an entire planet of Yellowstones and do that. Although, if it's an infinite universe, Earth isn't really that special, so let's just fuck up everything.
Well, we're already on the way. We might as well harness the power of Yellowstone. You know? Old Faithful, we should...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there. Maybe we could... I don't know how we'd do that without fucking up everything.
Like, you just have to capture the steam, right? Because that's what all of our power plants are, using water to move turbines, typically steam.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe like some kind of giant, like, you remember those parachute things that you'd use in gym class when you're a little kid? Like, they have a whole bunch of handles around them. And, like, everyone sits in a circle, and you lift it up and pulls back.
Yeah.
A giant one of those.
Uh-huh.
So it's just sort of like a hot air balloon. It fills up with steam.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the little hole in the middle. That's where the turbine is. It all goes up into a pipe. Right there. Spins the turbine. Bam.
And it's got a fun little tarp thing to catch on.
And we have a giant fucking circus tent in the middle of our country. Giant.
It's perfect. Seen from space. Take that, Great Wall.
That's right. You can actually do something like that without a volcano. It's like a greenhouse, but it comes up to a tube in the middle, like smokestack style.
Mm-hmm.
And so the radiant energy heating the air inside the greenhouse part causes it to convect towards the center, because it rises, and that's the only place it can rise to. So now you have slightly moving air just from the sun shining on your plants, and it's enough to turn a wheel, turns a magnet that makes voltage across a wire.
Bingo, bango.
Instant power. Once I figure out how to make a laser out of wood... It's over.
Well, okay, so let's go on this rooftop greenhouse type energy producer thing.
Okay.
So we have our regular roofs, which are now clear. So, like, the top of our attic is clear. We still have our normal ceilings and our roofs in our you know, normal room. But, like, the right. shingles at the top would be clear.
Yeah, so there'd be, like, a growing area mm-hmm. on everybody's top floor.
Yeah. And I guess if we could put, like, some sort of one-way mirror inside there, too. So, like, it's kind of tinted on the side that the sun's hitting, but it's mirrored on the inside.
So light can only go into it?
Right. So it's just bouncing around in there, heating it up real hot.
All of the radiant energy, none of it could bounce back out of the greenhouse. Mm-hmm.
So you just harness all this heat from the day and spin your turbine. Like, you have maybe three or four of them. Maybe even six.
Well, you're only limited by how high you can build your smokestack, right? Mm-hmm. And the area of the greenhouse would control the volume of air that you'd get. It can only go so far up the stack.
Yeah. So, you know, you got your angles, and you'd want as much exposure to the sun as possible, I'd imagine. So maybe, like, if your smokestacks are...
small enough that
a northern facing the smokestacks would be on the north side, so you get all the
like in the middle of the square.
Well, I'm thinking about here in Spokane, like, the sun is usually south of us,
right?
And it, like, rarely is the north side really well lit on, like, anybody's house here. Like, it's always got
I wonder
shadow.
If, like, the thing is that you have to have a channel for the air to go. Like, it has to have a curvature.
Yeah, okay, so
if it's all on one side, it has to be sloping up to that point, and then the smokestack starts.
Well, I was thinking, like, the fucked up triangle, the long triangle.
Right.
Yeah, one of those. I don't know how well that would work for reflecting heat, but I don't know. I'm trying to get more surface area. Sorry, off on a tangent.
It would work, I think, but it would be different than the picture in my head, which is fine. the thing, like, I heard this suggested as something to do, like, in the middle of the outback, where you have a whole bunch of flat space.
Mm.
So you can make a super big greenhouse sheet, which gives you a high volume of air, and then you have a relatively small stack in the middle of it. So it, like,
forces it out real fast.
Yeah, like, think of, you know, at least 10 acres of greenhouse stuff, right?
Wow.
But producing enough power for, you know, a fraction of a city or something.
Wow.
While you're farming strawberries or whatever in the greenhouse barn.
I was kind of thinking just a way to make some decent energy without, like, and kind of forget about the plants. Let's try to make it as hot as fucking
off
possible.
The grid.
Yeah. Let's get that fucking little room, like, a little hot box there.
Interesting. So, okay. You use, like...
That's why I was thinking all the mirrors on the inside, just to get it as hot as possible.
Ah, right. Okay. So it's like a solar oven.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
You take the
you could
exhaust.
Put things in it, like...
I guess you could cook with it, too.
You could, like, exhaust your house's excess energy out. Like, in the middle of the summer, people run AC, right?
Yeah.
Well, exhaust your hot air into the hot thing.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of hot air that comes from AC units.
Yeah, and...
I wonder, like, do you think that aids in the drought? Like, all the people running their AC? Do you think that helps? Like, just the... You know, it's already hot out there, and we're just pumping hotter air out...
Well, it's supposed to be bad for the environment.
Well, I know it's not. There's nothing bad about it, but you're just adding heat. It's like, you know, you have the heat on in your house, and then you turn a little space heater on. That one room is going to get really fucking hot. I don't know. Like, you know, your mom is always like, "Don't heat the outside. Close the door." Maybe not your mom, but like, everybody has an AC unit, so everybody's cranking out that much more heat. It's like how the you know, downtown is warmer because of all the traffic and just the streets being black and stuff. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But at the same time, the energy would be conserved somehow. So, like, if you make a cool spot inside, it heats up outside, but eventually the outside heats up your cool spot on the inside. It approaches equilibrium.
Okay.
So you're just, like, pushing the system out of equilibrium and then letting it reset itself.
That's a really good way of looking at it. It's like water.
That being said, though, if the air conditioning unit is putting out some kind of byproduct, that's not good, because then you're changing the system.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be neutral. There's one I saw that they were using in businesses. It was like a strip mall kind of setup, so they had a huge flat roof, and they just set up water tanks. And at night, they would air condition the water till it got to freezing. So you end up with these, you know, 50 gallons of ice per unit. And it just, over the course of the day, as it heats off, as they exchange the heat with the ice block, it cools down. Like, that's their air conditioning.
Oh, so it's like a swamp cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. But huge. So you have that huge mass of ice that's sort of self-insulated.
And running the air conditioner at night is way more efficient than running it in the daytime.
Yeah, so they just, like, when it's coolest outside, they quickly freeze as much water as they can. And then use it during the, you know, I think it was in California, so it was like 102 or something. But they're just, you know, air exchange. And it doesn't have that weird, like, dirty laundry smell that swamp coolers sometimes have. Musty.
Well, you can also just take a bunch of ice and put it in a bucket of water in front of a fan.
Yeah, so maybe we should do that. Like, go get ice blocks from 7-Eleven and just, like... Oh, I got it. It's like a computer chair, but it's got, like, a cooler in the butt of it. So you put your ice block in there, and then you're just relatively comfortable all day.
As long as you sit in your chair.
Well, yeah. Well, where else would you sit? Not going anywhere else.
Yeah.
You could use it in cars, though. Then you'd have, like, a little valve next to your, like at the door frame.
So your car's actually peeing.
Yeah. Because we need more anthropomorphic cars. People don't already treat them like actual people.
Yeah.
So, we can either be crushed to death from debris falling in an earthquake, or some combination of vaporized and suffocated by a volcano. Or a caldera like Yellowstone goes off and just blots out the sun for 10, 20 years.
Oh, man.
Oops.
That would really be bad. Well, what could you possibly do? How could you, like, other than going underground, is there a way to survive above ground? You need some sort of, like,
could
way
you,
to
like,
breathe.
Could you scrub the atmosphere in a local way? Like, because you can probably still breathe. Okay. I mean, there's just a lot of particulates in the air. And some of them are poisonous.
You know, we got pretty good air filtration things now.
Yeah, could we just whip up, like, a giant HEPA filter and just
slap it to a couple jets and fly
out? There you go. Like, AWACS, just...
But do you think it would be clear enough air to actually be able to take off?
Oh, that's a good question. So maybe the ash and shit would build up on the inside,
like,
of the engines.
Well, I'm thinking, like, if it's up in the atmosphere, it's probably around us, too. I mean, it would settle, but...
Maybe we'd have to bring back prop planes.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, just sort of a reverse parachute type of thing. Like, so you got, like, a parachute at the backside of a plane that's pretty much just a big filter. Like a,
right.
like just a foam filter.
So you
type
you
of
just
thing.
Have a filter in front of the jet engine or whatever.
Yeah, something to catch it at least until it could take off. You know, it might be a suicide mission.
Something
the first
like
1,000 times.
3,000 cigarette butts.
Yeah. Make it a filter.
Oh shit, biodome. Hey, she said we could just use wet towels.
But it's good that you collected all the cigarettes, bud.
Purple sticky punch. That's enough of that. Maybe that would be the solution, though. We gotta build biodomes.
It'd be a great way to a quick fix, but it would be really cold, you know, because, like, there's not going to be any sun, so it's going to be really fucking cold.
True, but what little we do get, we're keeping in with our weird solar oven smokestack thing that lives on top of the biodome.
Yeah. Because it's got just this light source that's trapped in it because it's all mirrors.
And, of course, the whole reason that this is persisting is so that we can research and genetically engineer space whales. Mm. Oh, and okay, I got it. And then they have a kind of, like, baleen, but instead of filtering plankton, it filters out atmospheric contaminants. So, like, they just do loops in the upper atmosphere.
So we need to draw the space whales to us to clean the volcano ash.
Okay, so we need to start a Kickstarter to build some kind of transmitter that sends out homing signals to the space whales.
Use the seed distress call.
Yeah, and then we domesticate them, and it's just like in Dune when Kyle MacLachlan rides the worm, and Toto's music is playing super loud. In fact, the space whales will be behaviorally conditioned to, like, become docile at the sound of Toto. I bless the rains down in Africa. They're just like, their belly rolls over.
They just wait for someone to come up and scratch them like a dog.
And then when you do, it sounds like... So, more and more episodes, the only logical conclusion is to find or breed or whatever space whales.
Oh, originally we created them with a computer, I think, is how we came up with them.
Oh, it was like weird science.
Yeah.
The first space whale will be named Lisa. And also, that provides, is it a Bill Paxton connection? Yes. And Vernon Wells. So, I think we can mathematically state for the record that this is probably the coolest idea ever. Probably. Because you got Vernon Wells in Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was in True Lies with Jamie Lee Curtis, whose career started because of John Carpenter. And if you can connect something to John Carpenter, it's cool.
But Jamie Lee Curtis was also in True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's what I said. That's the connection. Oh. You go Vernon Wells to Arnold Schwarzenegger to Jamie Lee Curtis to John Carpenter. And Bill Paxton, I mean, he's Aliens and Predators. Oh, not to mention that he's also in Commando when Arnold Schwarzenegger and Radon Chong are flying the plane through the naval thing. He's the naval officer that tells them to fuck off.
And he's in True Lies.
Oh, shit! Yeah, fuck! My favorite character in True Lies. Pair of titties! Make you want to bend down and beg for buttermilk! You gotta have an angle. Let's face it. The vet gets some wet.
Come on, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I got trapped in a loop. Just connected to Jeff Goldblum and the universe implodes.
It's okay, we got a reset button here.
I bet it's through Sam Neill. he's in Jurassic Park. He's also, like, in Event Horizon and, like, The Omen 3 and shit like that. This is what my inner monologue sounds like all day long. People wonder why I smoke weed.
Have we ever mentioned Bill Paxton before in any episode?
I know I've mentioned that he fights both aliens and predators, and oh, so is therefore a prime candidate for Alien versus Predator.
But no.
If it makes sense, Hollywood probably won't do it.
That's true.
Case in point, that one where Dwayne The Rock Johnson plays the Tooth Fairy.
Really?
Yeah. There's also... God, what is that one? Just the contrast between the movie that recently came out, Dredd, and Judge Dredd, starring Sly Stallone and Rob Schneider. That makes no sense.
Rob Schneider's in that one?
Yeah, he's like the comedy sidekick relief guy.
Oh.
And he hides in a weird robot filled with spaghetti. It's like, it sells like recycled food or some bullshit. It's weird. I bet you can just put spaghetti robot into YouTube and it comes right up.
Oh, I'm really glad I don't have a TV.
Hey, I'm like this, and I just use my TV as a giant computer monitor, so...
Yeah, that's true. I do that, too.
We're all fucked.
Yeah. How about since, you know, we were talking about the big-ass earthquakes, the earthquakes, the one in Japan, the 11.0, March 2011, what was it, a 9.8? Was it just a 9?
In the one that started the Fukushima stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was 9.
Yeah.
Either way, like, high enough to be outlandish. Like, yeah. Well, they're supposed to be outliers, but we've had a whole bunch of 6+, and I bet we have some 8s this year.
Oh, probably. We're about to have.
Although, weren't there just a few that were, like, 7-point-something?
Well,
or downgraded from 8 or something?
Yeah, probably downgraded from 8. Which is weird, but whatever.
I understand that, because you'd have the one closest to the quake would register first and would register a higher amplitude. But then it would take, like, hours to get all the way across the world.
Yeah.
The whole wave. And then you got, like, you can do the calculation at each interval and see how it's declining as it spans out from the epicenter.
That's a good point, but I would think that, you know, whatever it is at the epicenter, I'd say that's probably what it should be.
Yeah, probably.
Or, like, whatever closest monitor we have.
Well, it's all an estimation.
I guess that's true.
Like, the first time we measured gamma ray bursts, we had to, like, coordinate with Russian satellites and be like, hey, did you guys just get a weird disturbance at, and then quote them some time, because we were using the speed of light to see how fast it was, like, getting out the theory shit just to see if we're actually detecting the right thing. Mm-hmm. But it seemed to go through with the speed of light. Therefore confirmed. And the earthquakes reach across the world. I guess they lose 2 to 3 tenths of a point, maybe. Possibly. Although, couldn't you predict that after a while? And therefore get a better reading from the meter closest to the epicenter?
Well, you know, I heard something interesting the other day, like, the fault that the 9.0 happened on for the Japan earthquake, it like didn't show signs of stress. Like it was just a real real random type of thing. Like it totally caught everybody off guard. But I guess it's an earthquake and that's what they do. But like, man, that fucking the three reactors, man, they're still fucked.
Yeah, I think they're still flooding them with ocean water
and still pumping it into the sea.
Well, there's no place for it to go. Yeah. Get ready for some mutant fish.
Yeah.
Those reactors, they wouldn't have gone critical at all if they hadn't lost power. That's really the only thing.
Which is weird because it's a power plant.
Well, yeah, like,
why don't they have batteries?
Yeah, why not something? I mean, unless the connection was physically severed from the reactor and wherever the power is. And I can understand, like, a diesel generator, like hospitals and shit use, that it's not going to work in a flood. Even if it was just water and, like, no debris damaging it. It's just going to flood the whole works.
Why do they build a nuclear reactor? Well, I guess they needed the water, but... Oh, man.
Still,
right there next to the ocean.
Given the catastrophic accidents in the relatively short period of time that we've had nuclear power, like, how about next one, we build it in space. The reactor runs a giant laser that's pointed at a receiving station on Earth that's specially calibrated to use that light solar, like, you know, it's only one wavelength, so you only need solar panels to pick up red.
Yeah, you know, we got, like, the nuclear submarines and things like that. Why can't we have a nuclear spacecraft?
Well, you could.
Well,
we kind of do. It's Curiosity, that the Mars rover that we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. It has a nuclear battery that helps it stay, like, it's the first one that we've done that can stay powered on during the night. All the other ones were limited to running on solar panels during the day, and if the power went down too much, you couldn't run the heaters on them, so everything freezes at night and never comes back on again.
Ooh.
This one definitely will stay heated. And also the probe that we're sending out to Pluto runs on a nuclear battery.
That's cool.
Yeah, the New Horizons probe.
Now, is that actually going to be like a rover type of thing?
No, it's just going to do like Viking type stuff, take pictures. But it's going to do a flyby of the outer planets, which we haven't done like since we invented digital cameras.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, so we'll get some cool pictures. And then its main mission is to go out and figure out what the fuck's going on with Pluto. Like, is it... You know, is it a two-body system, Pluto and Charon, or does Charon orbit Pluto, or vice versa, or do they switch, or, you know, are they, you know, just, should they not even be considered dwarf planets? Just random, vaguely round objects?
Mm-hmm. Man, so, okay, so, have we gotten anything better as far as, like, their... how fast they will get out there? Or are they going to continue at the same speed as, like, Voyager and things like that?
I think it is faster. That's, it still is taking years.
Yeah.
Not 30 years. That's, like, to get outside of the solar system. And even then, like, Voyager, we could have got it back if we wanted to study... Well, not get it back, but kept it in the solar system... If we didn't do flybys, if we put it into orbit instead. But since it's, if you're flying by the outer planets, you are past escape velocity for the solar system. Because you're moving away from the sun.
So does that mean that the New Horizon will eventually leave the solar system too?
I think we get to choose. So I bet it gets parked in the orbit of Pluto.
That's kind of, well,
I think that'd be cool, because it would be...
Both of them would be kind of cool, I think, but...
Well, typically, like, our probes will last longer than their missions. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of the Mars probes had 90-day missions or 45-day missions, and they averaged 2 years.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, So this thing could sit out there and just take pictures of shit every once in a while.
Yeah.
And, like, it can give us a new viewpoint, like, on the asteroid belt or looking for comets coming into our solar system.
Mm-hmm. That's a
and
cool thing.
Also, it can transmit data back to us at, like, 30-some-odd kilobytes per second.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like shitty DSL.
Man. From Pluto?
Yeah. So, okay, there's 18 hours latency on it. Not suitable for playing games. But plenty for... It could have its own Facebook page and regularly post pictures, like, on the daily. That would be a ridiculous waste of its resources, but it's possible.
It's a point taken.
I think it'll be cool, like, if, when it does a flyby of Saturn, it should have sensitive enough cameras that we can get a really good look at the rings.
Yeah, that'll be rad.
And some of those chunks are, like, 2 kilometers wide. So, like, my ultimate fantasy is, like, a zero-G golf course out there.
I wonder how many megapixels its cameras have.
I'd hope at least 10. Maybe you can't even measure it like that, though. It's
1 gigapixel.
Yeah, because it's, like, half a megapixel, or not, half a gigapixel of, like, visible light, and then it does X-ray, and then I don't know if it does all that, but
it would
be cool.
Really cool. Like, you know how we saw the giant squid with cameras that, like, nothing can see, but still can take pictures? Or it was
it like an infrared thing?
It was a light that not even we can see. Like...
Well, we can't see very much of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Yeah. But they were saying, so, like, nothing could see it, so, like, but the camera's good. So that's how they caught it in the picture.
So the animals down there wouldn't even sense it unless they bumped into it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But,
cool.
Like, what if we used that kind of camera to take pictures of, like, the dark side? Well, I guess there's no dark side of the planets except for the moon. So I guess there's no reason to do that.
Well, they have a dark side, but it just rotates to the light side after a while.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be rad if we took it to the moon. Took some pictures back on the other side.
We should. Mm-hmm. I mean, people seem to be making us avoid the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's because Newt Gingrich is building a secret base up there, like you mentioned during the campaigns.
Well, you know, like, a lot of the terrain on maybe, like, Google Earth maps of the moon. You know, like, a lot of it's really detailed and, like, really good pictures, but then all of a sudden there's just, like, this weird, like, blurred out splotch. Like, it's not even done well, but it's, like, really noticeable that it's been, like, photoshopped.
I've seen stuff like that that is supposedly from either taking pictures of plasma events or being exposed to, like, a solar flare or radiation or something. Like, it maxes out the camera's light sensing ability for that pixel, so it turns it completely white.
Well, it's not like pixels. Well, I guess it could be, but, like, I don't know. And I have seen a weird video once of, like, it was like the one of the Apollo missions, and they're, like, wandering around inside this building on the moon. I don't know. It's just it's a weird video.
Oh yeah, with the weird alien creature that they bring back supposedly.
I don't remember that part. But
I saw that part.
Yeah.
Like, they go inside this big spaceship and they find this humanoid that is supposedly, like, wrapped in a like a cellophane type material that's like a space suit thing, and, like, has this weird life support system going in its nose, and they pull it out.
Oh, I think I've seen pictures of that, but, like, I didn't know where it came from. It was, like, almost like a Star Trek uniform that it had on.
Yeah, which is suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
I say, though, if they are concealing something, it better basically be the plot of Portal 2 with, like, Cave Johnson was harvesting moon dust because that's the only material that the portals would stick to or something. And it also gave him a huge cancer, like lung cancer. It's basically asbestos. Great game.
I don't know. The moon seems a little weird to me. Like,
I firmly believe that we went. And the proof is in that laser experiment. They set up these little reflectors around the Apollo landing site so that we could map the exact distance of the moon using like the laser beam reflecting off the reflector and coming back. And, you know, times the speed of light, gives you the distance. So you can do that. Anybody can do that. And it takes like, takes an investment of like a couple $100s because you have to get a decently powerful laser. But like it's one of those green laser pointers that's premium. Right? And then you get a photo detector like you use in science lab in college. And you just point it at the moon. Well, you have to get it at the right spot. It's hard to like get
with your hand
onto the actual, like even with a surveyor's stand, this precise wheels
that's
and shit.
Long
it's
a way away. Not only do you have to do it before it actually passes, well, not probably
yeah, that too.
Far.
It's moving at the same time. Yeah.
You got to shoot ahead of your target a little bit. I played the first person shooters and it was up.
Fucking, I looked at Mars once through. It was a teacher of mine's like 10-inch telescope, so pretty big mirror. And it was like the size of a quarter in the viewfinder. You could see details on it and like the polar caps and shit. But it was cruising across the view. Like every 10 seconds, you'd have to move the whole thing.
Well, like how fast does the Earth move around the Sun? Do you know?
Faster than I've bothered to memorize.
Well, I think it's upwards of 5,000 miles an hour or 5,000 miles a second.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, how fast does the Sun move through the galaxy?
I'd imagine even faster than that. Yeah. So,
I think it's like 20,000 miles a second.
Just trying to render the proper frame of reference in your head is hard enough. Like
a second. We are flying really fast right now.
We're falling. Falling through space. Sometimes I get that feeling just randomly that the bottom fell out from under you. Ooh.
That's a weird feeling. But I know what you say. Yeah. I don't know.
So. Fuck. Lost my train of thought. We're at about an hour, though. Should we wrap this one up?
Yeah, I think I'm running on dry, or running on empty with the ideas and things.
We digressed heavily off the planet again. Seems to be an emerging theme.
Yeah, well, whatever. But we have the first couple of minutes. I think it was the first, like, hour. No, the first half hour. We're at 1 hour now. It was, like, the first 30 minutes that we were talking about actual, like, earthquakes and things like that.
Well, it's just the inevitable conclusion that we need the space whales.
Yeah.
So
I think this is actually a fitting episode to carry the name Cryptodome.
For sure. I think for the song, since we were talking about volcanoes, we should either do... Well, we should do Fire, either by Jimi Hendrix or by Arthur Brown.
Now, see, the Jimi Hendrix one is... Well played. Everyone knows that. But the
True.
Arthur Brown one is really good. And not many people know about Arthur Brown.
So Arthur Brown.
I vote Arthur
All
Brown.
Right.
I've done this at karaoke before. Everyone looked at me like I was crazy.
Do you even actually sing the song? Like
you just, well, it's not really singing. It's more screaming, I think, than anything. And then there's like a little bit of spoken word, too.
Yeah, he has to tell you about how he's the devil or whatever.
Living in a little world.
seems I've clicked this link before. Let's go with the color one. Not that any of you will see it. Oh, great. Buffering. 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 Buffering.
You